So whoop that drink, 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 whoop that drink.
Welcome to another edition of the Grizz Den Podcast. We are jumping on right after the conclusion of Game 3, where the Grizzlies came back from down 26 to win.
Wait, we won?
To 95. If you turn the game off, you just missed like the greatest comeback in the history of the Grizzlies. 104 to 95. It was a grit and grind game, but in the weirdest way possible. I mean, we were down 20 twice in this game.
Two separate times
we were down by 20, once in the first half, once in the second half.
It's the third largest comeback in playoff history.
Unbelievable. We were hosting a watch party tonight, and about 10 minutes in, I wanted to tell everyone to leave. No offense if you were there. If you were there and you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry, but it's true. It felt like that type of game where
they should
all
have
three
left.
Of us,
that's on them. They should be aware. They're like Carl Anthony Towns when it comes to awareness. They weren't aware at all.
Listen, I wanted to tell them to leave three different times, and then this Grizzlies team just kept coming back. They did not give up. The Wolves just completely collapsed. I mean, unbelievable win. And the Grizzlies take a 2-1 series lead in the least probable way possible. We were not together for this game, but I believe we are all just sort of in shock, dealing with the emotion. We have not even prepped for this at all. We just jumped right on after this.
Because
we always prep.
We always prep.
Because we always do prep. Yeah. All right. So let's dive in. What were the just like initial takeaways after this win? I don't even care who starts. Just go.
Ty.
My favorite part of all of it is I showed y'all this quote from Jenkins after the game. Quote, "I don't really know how we did it."
What
That's
honesty.
My favorite part.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
I also just like, oh so gosh. Like our like just, little text, our little text
I don't know.
Thread. What do you mean you don't know? What are you talking about? Our little text there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go.
Okay. Ty's like frozen. Our little text thread. Like, I guess we were like in that like 19-4 run or whatever. Whenever Jaren picked up his fifth foul, I dropped some expletives. It was like at the beginning of that thread, of that run. And he went out, and then we went on the run, and we did not text until the game ended. We were like, I don't know what happened.
I had my phone down. It was a conscious decision. I said, I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not checking any stats. I do not know how many turnovers John Morant has, but I know it's a lot, and I'm frustrated with him because he just played his worst game ever. And then I looked at the stats, and he had a triple-double at the end of this game. And it was the first triple-double in Memphis Grizzlies playoff history. And I was like, how do we want to commemorate this for John Morant? He just played, honestly, one of his worst games ever, and he would be the first to say it. And I just don't even know how this happened. Desmond Bane was just essential in this game. Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark off the bench. Honestly, let's start from the top. They started Kyle Anderson. They did not go with Steven Adams. I thought that was an interesting decision. We had mentioned it on the podcast. And about a few minutes in, I just noticed that the rebounding margin was just totally off. In favor of the Timberwolves, and it could have been a product of the crowd. It was probably a product, though, of Karl Anthony Towns being the biggest guy on the floor. And I remember I texted in our thread, like, Tillman, to me, would have made a little bit more sense than Kyle, even though I love Kyle there in that spot. And Jaren, a complete no-show in this game, and it's unbelievable how we were able to pull this out without Jaren. So, I mean, what were your first, like, instincts when you saw that starting lineup and then saw how it played out? Like, what were your thoughts?
I was obviously excited for the starting lineup. I mean, I'm with you, though. The rebounding margin was a big deal. I mean, but they just, you know, credit the Wolves to start in that first quarter and to start the second half. They brought this defensive intensity that they couldn't keep up. Right, but the intensity defensively, it like really messed with us. And top of that, with the fact with a couple of their players being really aggressive offensively, that I think really took us off guard, mainly like Pat Bev and even Vanderbilt, I think really came out of like guns blazing in a way that sort of set this different tone that that sort of helped catalyze their run to start and catalyze the run in the second half. It was we really didn't have an answer for the physicality piece of it. And they couldn't or they didn't maintain it. And that, I mean, that's one of the big stories of the whole game to me, was just we sort of just like held in there and took, we were kind of like Rocky, I guess, like taking all these licks and just stayed steady, and they couldn't maintain the big blows.
Ty, what'd you think?
This is going to be a horrible reference, but I have to, because it's the first thing I thought of. Do y'all remember when Tiger, of course you remember, when Tiger won the Masters in 2019, he was just like, I'm just going to do my thing, I'm going to be steady, and I'm going to let everyone else fall apart. Literally, that's what we did. We just like stuck with it, we were steady, and we didn't like do anything amazing to like, we didn't hit like six threes in a row or get like, we didn't do anything wild. We literally just chipped. And I loved what, I don't know if y'all watched the TNT broadcast or the Bally broadcast, but Brevin said it's really easy to make shots when you're up 20. It's a lot tougher to make shots when you're up 5 with 5 minutes left. That was just like, literally to me, that explains what happened to the Wolves. Their buttholes got so tight that they couldn't do anything. And we just stayed steady. Like, it was pretty amazing how steady we were. Even Ja played a horrible game, but he kept, like, every time we needed a possession, he would go get the ball. And he was like, I want the ball. Give me the ball. He made some huge plays down the stretch. His dump-offs to BC, that sick lefty wraparound to Bane. Oh, my gosh. Like, the balls to make that pass in that moment. Tyus being as huge as he was. And we're going to do apologies later, I'm sure. But –
led by me. Brandon, I'm going to lead him.
Brandon Clark, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I've always believed.
This is true. This is
unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Dylan's step back on Towns
I mean, okay, that was unreal. The most ridiculous shot of the night.
Unreal.
The most ridiculous shot of the night. Let me read off this real quick.
Gosh.
The quarter-by-quarter scoring margins. 39-21 in the first quarter, then 23-12 Grizzlies in the second quarter. Third quarter, 32-23 Timberwolves, and then 37-12 in the fourth quarter. Unbelievable. Can you imagine right now being a Timberwolves fan? I mean, would you?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I can.
It happened to me. It happened.
Okay, yeah, we absolutely can. You're exactly right. We exercised a lot of demons tonight, but like leaving probably like right into the fourth quarter when they're up 20 to go to the bars a little bit early. Like, how many fans just are just going home right now in disbelief? That's just a beautiful thing.
And another thing, this isn't an apology to it necessarily, because we sort of talked about him on our pod. Was that last night or two nights ago? I don't know, whenever it was. But like I'm just going to credit Jenkins a little bit. I mean, he has that quote that's hilarious. It won because he played the players that were working. He didn't force this deep bench rotation mentality. Melton sucked again. I mean, it was a moment when everybody was sucking, sorta. But like,
he had 0 points.
He was even worse than normal playoff Melton, which is saying a lot. And he didn't see the court again. He only played 7 minutes. He didn't come back in. And you look at sort of the minute by minute breakdown. Brooks, Ja, Bane, all like right at the 40-minute mark of minutes for the game. Clark had like right at 30. Kyle had 26. I mean, those were the guys that were working for us, and we rolled with them. That when you look at sort of like how we were able to make a comeback, ultimately it was like we stuck there, and then the guys that stepped in when those guys were off, a.k.a. Tyus, They brought their stones and they made an impact. They weren't dead weight.
It's huge. I mean, because when you're starting point guard, he had 7 turnovers in this game, and they were all like, they weren't just those turnovers that are meaningless. Like, each one was in a point in the game where you really needed to make something happen, and he would drive in the lane and somebody would get a hand in and he would lose the ball. Tyus, I mean, he had a turnover tonight, but like, the fact that he's a point guard we can rely on to come in and actually stabilize the game, and then he ended up hitting the 3 that gave us our first lead of the game. I mean, just like the work that he and BC did tonight off the bench, you cannot overstate the impact that it had. And then Desmond Bane being the guy that at some point in the first quarter, I was like, I really don't know who else I want shooting the ball besides Desmond Bane, because Jaren doesn't have it. Ja doesn't have it. Dylan doesn't have it. And Kyle's just in there to facilitate and to rebound and do the dirty work. Bane, you're just going to have to carry us.
Yeah.
And at some point in the first half, I remember saying to the people around me, like, I just want it to be within 10 at the end of the first half. And it ended up being within 7. And it was because of Desmond Bane and his effort. And we got a little bit lucky. I mean, the Timberwolves at the end of the game especially just couldn't hit a shot. And we had some calls on our side with Kat being in foul trouble. But at the same time, I mean, guys, Jaren Jackson Jr., I feel like, has not played a complete game in this series. Even game 2.
No, he didn't.
Felt a little bit limited.
He got garbage minutes in that game.
When are we going to see Jaren play? Like,
yeah, man.
He's been a no-show.
Because of doing like just stupid stuff, he can settle down and stay in the game if he just like thinks a little bit, you know? Like, he just, it's like the speed of the playoffs. He hasn't been able to figure out how to connect his brain to it yet. Like how maybe he did in the regular season where he still like led the league in fouls, but it was still a little bit better than maybe previous seasons. That's a huge storyline. I mean, we pulled this off, but like, if we advance this series, we got to have him in the next series. If we're going to take another leap, it's a real problem. And I mean, like, but at the same time, to your point on Bane, like, Ja and Dylan go 9 for 32 tonight, and we win 9 for 32.
Gosh, Bane shot 15 threes.
If you told me we were gonna score 104 points, I would tell you we were losing 9 times out of 10. Like, the fact that they scored 95 points, I mean, this is as much a Grizzlies victory as it is a Wolves loss, in my opinion.
Total. Oh, like, more so. Absolutely more so.
They just completely collapsed. And I think it shows, like, the fortitude of having those scars. And just, like, the fact that you really do have to go through this. And I don't know what's going to happen in game 4, because their crowd was a big factor in this game, especially in the first half. I mean, it was unbelievable to see Patrick Beverley actually making an impact on the offensive end and doing a, like, you're too small celebration when it was 3-0. Like, I was laughing at Patrick Beverley in that moment, but then I stopped laughing when they got up by 26, because I was like, this is working somehow. So I think we just bought ourselves a little bit of slack in game 4, but I would really, really love for us to build off of this and actually come out and shoot well in the first half of game 4, and then come home game 5 and put this away. Because I think now, I mean, you got to think it's going to take them digging really, really deep to come back in game 4. And you have to imagine that Ja cannot play worse. Jaren cannot play worse than he played tonight.
Yeah.
Guys, what are you looking for in game 4 now, Saturday? I mean, do we have any excuse not to win at this point?
I mean, no. I think Brantley's point that you made earlier, it feels like a lot of the things they're doing are kind of unsustainable. Like, the whole Pat Bev point. Like, at the end of the game, we forced him to take a bunch of jumpers. No way they're going in. We, like, forced him to make plays down the – yeah, he had a couple, like, you know, five-minute stretch to start the game, but that's not going to continue. Like, Anthony Edwards take – like, yes, sometimes he's going to make these really tough shots, but they're all really tough shots.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be hard for him to shoot a decent percentage when we're forcing these shots. I just feel like the things that they are doing – yes, at times they're going to work for sure. But again, over a series, I feel like that's going to be hard to sustain. Game four, I feel like right now, I feel like there's like blood in the water. And Ja is like sniffing it for sure. Like he's swimming downstream, like he's coming. And I feel like he is probably just as mad after the game that he played. He's already been chirping on Twitter. I'll let y'all take a look at that after the pod. It's pretty phenomenal.
I'm gonna need a breakdown.
I just feel like, take a look right now.
No, what's the breakdown?
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Why?
But I just feel like game four.
No. Game four. Keep going.
No, I just feel like, we have to punch. We have to punch him in the mouth, right out of the gate. End it quickly and be like, okay, this series is officially over.
Yeah. A team. Like, what just happened to the Wolves? There are very few teams that can recover from that, in my opinion. Like, now maybe they can, and they'll show something. It's anything is possible.
We talked about this last night.
They're fragile, though. Like, Cat.
Yes, we talked about they are breakable.
Cat is a weak-minded person. Like, on the court, he's like Jaren. He both of them to me have this like incredible gift set that their mental approach to the game doesn't allow them to tap into. And I hate to compare the two of them, but like they were going back and forth trading for dumbest fouls of the night and doing totally. It to one another and having similar reactions to the refs. I'm like, Jaren, that was a foul, dude. Like, quit bitching. Like, come on. Like, just chill out and play the game. And then, I mean, the interesting thing, like, you know, Jaren had these moments where he still at the end of the game impacted it, right? He had some crazy blocks.
He went after some
loose balls. He hit a three. That's why we need him in the game. We almost like, dude, tonight for game four, moving forward, tonight showed you that Bane is our two. He's our number two. Score in the playoffs, he's our guy. Like, that's what bothered me so much about game one, being worried. Like, they shut him down. He couldn't get good looks. He wasn't getting shots in rhythm. And tonight was a little different. So to Ty's point, I'm looking for the Wolves to be fragile. First, they come out ready to stomp, bring it back, and close it out in game five and in a five-game series, and get ready for the Warriors, man, because – here's the other thing, too, to your point on Edwards. Game one, dude was looking like LeBron, like he was the next LeBron.
Totally.
Games two and three, he looked like Rudy Gay. I think he's more
– great point.
He's more like Rudy
Gay. Great point, Tubbs. That's – yeah. Great, great comparison. I love the point you made. I think we need to restructure – Jaren's role right now for this team. He's not our number two offensive player. Mm-mm. And he doesn't need to try to be.
Mm-mm.
That role is taken.
Yeah,
Jaren needs to like morph into like a more, and he, maybe like the coaching staff doesn't view him as that. Maybe it's just like fans putting pressure on him to like be the number two guy, because that's like what we hope for him. But like his role right now should be playing amazing defense, which he's doing. He fouls too much, obviously. And offensively, just kind of like do some little things. Hit an open three. Get some offensive rebounds. Like, just do the little things on offense. Don't look to try to like be this guy who creates a lot, takes people off the dribble because he gets offensive fouls all the time. Just be out there. Be on the floor because he's crazy important for what we do. And he's going to be. Like, if we're going to make a true run, Jaren needs to be like way up on the list of impact. But it doesn't have to be like a second leading scorer impact.
Yeah.
It has to be impact elsewhere, and I think we're starting to see that. And, yeah, Bane, like, every time it left his hand, I was like, of course that's going to go in. Not even that, but, like, getting to the rim, like, I just, and Bane is like here for the moment, which I also love. I think we need to shift the way we think about Jaren's role on this team moving forward. And to Jaren and Kat's perspective, I guess the only encouraging thing is Jaren's still 22 years old. Kat's like 7 or 8 years in the league. He's 26. Like, he's been around for a lot longer. Maybe Tripp can grow into something, but right now we need to view those roles differently.
Yeah. Yeah, and to your point, like, we can't risk in the playoffs Jaren picking up a cheap offensive foul. That's like the number one reason maybe to stop him, like not try to ask him to do too much offensively. Let him be in the right spots and go like make hustle plays offensively, because we need him defensively more so than anything else, because it just makes up such a big amount for our team.
Him and Brandon Clark, him and BC at the four and the five are just, they're terrifying. Like, they're both everywhere all the time. They contest every shot at the rim. They can switch on the perimeter on every ball handler. Like, they're just everywhere. Yep. Them two together is such an advantage. Honestly, in any matchup we have moving forward, Jaren just has to be on the floor. He has to be.
Will, do you think we can smell blood? Do you think the Wolves will bounce back? I mean, Kat's already talking about how he's going to go home and decompress by having a couple glasses of wine.
is that true? So well, Vito?
Listen, at this point, like, it's advantage us. It's advantage us. Like, it doesn't matter. We just took back home court. Like, it doesn't matter what they say about what they're going to do. We just stole back home court, and it doesn't, like, we are in control at this point. So I don't think that it's necessarily something that will depend on the Wolves just, like, level of play at this point. It's all dependent upon us, because we have shown that it doesn't matter what they're going to do. It matters how we respond to it, and it matters how we approach the game. And so, like, I think if we get this win in game four, this series is over. It is over.
The forum in game five is truly going to burn to the ground if we win game four.
While we're talking about this, Devin Walker, Joggles, friend of the pod, sort of, Devin Walker,
he knows we exist.
He has a Joggle shirt, so that kind of counts. He tweeted that the Timberwolves DJ joked at the end of the game, quote, "I can't wait to play Whoop That Trick. It's going to go viral." Dude, man. That tweet's going on like the Jumbotron in the forum.
That, yes, a part of that is going viral, not in the way he intended.
Exactly, exactly. Well, listen.
I have some apologies.
Oh, yeah. Apology tour, and then we'll close it out.
So, close it out. I don't. We're not stopping this pod. We're going until midnight.
I still
Come
have
on.
A,
we
still,
let's go,
I
baby.
Have a lot of smoke to talk about from Twitter, man. Having fun in this game. It's just rehashing all the Twitter stuff.
Let's open
but,
it up.
Yeah. Do we have any call-ins? Do we want people to, like,
I could probably
post
the Riverside to our Slack channel and see if anybody wants to jump in and ask any questions. I'm not kidding, actually.
Hey, I will shout out Kraft, though, before you do apologies. Kraft said four different times they're going to let us back
in. Yeah, will you time stamp
it? They're going to let us back in.
Time stamp his – the first time he said that, I was like, dude, shut up. I'm so mad at you for even saying that.
Yeah, it was so – yeah, it was stupid. He was, like, not concerned.
Okay. Okay, so first off, y'all – I'm going to start – my first apology is to Brandon Clark, because last year I was really – I was really harsh on the boy. And I don't really know if I ever, like – I mean, I've sang his praises some this season, but maybe not in an official capacity that admitted fault for being – so harsh on him, and I still think that there's a chance that we should use him to upgrade to other positions if needed. But
take
he's
it back.
Amazing, like, and I'm fully apologizing for.
That sounds
no,
like
no,
a
no,
half
no,
apology.
No, no. He's so good that like he a lot of teams could benefit from having him as we are. And like, and last year I doubted how good he could be, I think, in a playoff capacity. So this is my full apology to him tonight. The way, like, he, y'all know that one of the ways, this is not an unpopular way to judge people, from an intuition perspective, but it's just like when they shoot, I feel like it's going in. And like Brandon has earned, like to me, every time he gets that like little floater, it's like, it's gotta be 99% in my mind. Like him and Bane, like yep. It's just going in. Tyus now from three is that way. It just feels like it's going in every single time. So this is my official apology. Brandon Clark, you're the man. I can't wait to see you starting in game four. Brantley here in Central Gardens is really supposed to apologize.
We accept your apology. I'll tell him appreciate you said it. So. And
this next apology is just going to be quick. T Jink, I did not think that you had it in you. Game two, I didn't think that you had it in you. With Steven Adams, I sort of even halfway thought that maybe you just lucked into benching Steven Adams because of that flagrant foul, and then it just sort of works. You're like, we'll just ride with it. I definitely didn't think that you had it in you to like not start in this game and do a DNP. So my bad. Like you are being really humble and saying you're not really sure how we made it happen. That's a hilarious quote.
So great.
It's sort of cute, actually, and I'm jealous of your beard. But third apology, and y'all know that this is one that I can't believe that I'm here. And it's to worst haircut in the league, Dylan Brooks.
DB.
Because I'm willing to put up with all the ish in the regular season and the stupid stuff and the shooting layups from the wrong foot for playoff Dylan because we need it. And it's so clear, and I have been wrong about him, I think. I didn't think that he could do it two playoff seasons in a row. He's doing it. He's still he's himself, and he's kind of trick or treat like, you know, like TA in a sense, but in a different way. And I'm apologizing, man. Like you, that step back, you've won me over, and I'm officially apologizing to the Dylan Brooke fans, and I don't really have a better way to say this except I'm not going to be a hater anymore. I may be a criticizer because I'm even criticizing Ja for how stupid he was tonight at times. But Dylan, here, please accept my official apology. My apology tour is over.
I have to, on that note, I have to shout out your brother, Andrew. Andrew Davidson on our Grizz Slack channel. Quote, at 8:53 p.m., I'm going to go crazy if DB shoots another shot tonight. An hour later, he hits a dagger, step back over Towns. Oh, it's just so beautiful.
That was a 50-50 chance, by the way. That ball is an air ball. Like, it could have been an air ball.
His eyes were closed. You see the rim.
Might have been in his eyes. I'm not really sure.
Gosh, so amazing.
Gosh, well, listen, we have, I don't know if it's going to get much better than this right here, where it's just a 26-point comeback in a game that we had no business of winning, and in a series that is actually more consequential than the next series will be at the end of the day, because this is the one that will just sort of cement our status in the league. And here's to game four on Saturday night. Listen, let's just go ahead and get it done in five. Let's make quick work of the Wolves. They have shown that they are mentally weaker. They are not the better team. We are the better team in all respects. And let's just get it done. It's time. Guys, any final notes before we get out of here?
I don't know when I'm going to sleep.
Can't wait to mark it up Saturday.
That's right, 9 p.m.
Wait.
It's going to be a beautiful late night. It's going to be a game that will have the potential to make game five just a beautiful celebration of this Grizzlies team. If there isn't anything else, this has been an emergency game three podcast that was worthy of a pod for Brantley, for Ty, for Grizzlies fans everywhere. I'm Will. This has been another edition of the Grizz Den Pod. We will talk to you very soon. Go Grizz!
Whoop 'em.